This is an extemporaneous Christian Science prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, website mbeinstitute.org. Mary Baker Eddy was the discoverer, founder, and leader of Christian Science, and the author of 17 books, and the flagship is the textbook of Christian Science entitled Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. The textbook makes it clear that the healings of Jesus were scientific, not miracles. The textbook explains exactly how Jesus performed the healings. And on page 146, she states these two key points. Divine metaphysics has now been reduced to a system. Number two, it enables the learner to demonstrate healing. And on page 330, she makes these two points. There are 32 planks as the platform of the system of divine metaphysics. And one, if you live the 32 planks, and two, it must be both by the letter and the spirit, then you will prove the infallibility of the system of divine metaphysics to be effective. Pages 330 to 340 state exactly what those 32 planks are. Her system of divine metaphysics is just as specific as the rules of mathematics. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're located, what the circumstances are. If you understand the tables of mathematics and the operators, which are add, subtract, multiply, and divide, and if you apply those operators to the 10 digits of 0 through 9, you will get the correct answer, as would anyone else that does the same thing. And this is exactly the same as healing. This is exactly the same as music. There are laws in music. In fact, music uses mathematics. Even the physical sciences, for example, chemistry and physics, they need to be utilized according to the laws that have been proven to be true. The laws of physical science are based on the belief of matter, so they are not as permanent as the laws of spirit, because the laws of spirit are totally eternal. They're always true. But the laws of physics and laws of other things do vary over a period of time as new things are discovered about those laws. The purest form of science is Christian Science. Einstein said this about Christian Science and Mary Baker Eddy. Science without religion is lame. Religion without science is blind. Blessed art thou, for everything that is in this book. If one studies and applies the rules of divine metaphysics systematically and scientifically, it is effective. He also stated about curiosity. Curiosity has its own reason for existing. Never stop questioning. And one more. You cannot solve a problem by approaching it on the same level as where the problem appeared. All sciences have different levels of understanding. And as noted before, the most scientific science is Christian Science. And on page 115 and 116 of the textbook, Mary Baker Eddy outlines the four levels of understanding of Christian Science and the system of divine metaphysics. The basic elements to divine metaphysics are the seven synonymous terms for God. They are mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. The definition of God is on page 465, and it states the following: that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. So in other words, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love are just like mathematics. They are ideas, and they are incorporeal. They're divine, supreme, infinite. Incorporeal, that means they're invisible. That means they're ideas. They're not matter. They're not opaque. Divine means perfect. Supreme means there is nothing to compete with it. And infinite means there's absolutely no limit. On page 587, she gives the definition as God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all-substance, intelligence. On the same page, the definition of good. God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. And omniscience is defined as all intelligence, all wisdom, and all knowing. She defines man as a compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full expression of mind. The Bible defines man the same way. Genesis 1, verses 26 to 27, says, "And let us make man after our image and after our likeness. So God made man after his image and after his likeness." And then it says that God gave man dominion over all the earth, the fowls of the air, the fishes of the water, everything under the earth, the beasts, everything. And what did he do after he made man? He rested. Rested on day 7. And what do you think rest means? R-E-S-T. God rests in action. He's omni-action. He doesn't become stagnant or stop. No. All existence is filled with continuous activity. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. So the truth has always been true. That's why she translates the very first 3 words of Genesis chapter 1, where it says in the beginning, she translates it as in the only. In other words, the only existence there is the spiritual record, which is what is covered in Genesis chapter 1 up through verse 3 of chapter 2. And in that arena, the derivation of the word God comes from the word Elohim. And that comes from the documents that were discovered that are titled Elohistic. Beginning on verse 4 of chapter 2, that is all from the Jehovahistic. And God is from the word Jehovah. And that's a God that is materialistic, which means that it is false. And even though Genesis chapter 1 was written after Genesis chapter 2, the hand of divine providence was involved in placing the books of the Bible. We can basically deny that the Genesis chapter 2, the whole record about Adam and Eve is not us. We're not born a sinner, as is advertised in the churches, most of the churches. No. We are made in the image and likeness of God, which is the spiritual record of all existence. Mary Baker Eddy refers to the record as being a revelation, an unfoldment, and she covers details on Genesis, which means the beginning, and on the end, which is Apocalypse, or Revelation. Those are chapters 15 and 16 of the textbook, and that's a part of the Key to the Scriptures. And at the very beginning of the so-called material record of Adam and Eve and all that, it says there went up a mist. It's clear that a mist is not something that is clear. In other words, we cannot see clearly in a mist. And it states very clearly, there went up a mist, so that should be the big wake-up call to forget about what it says, except to deny that it is true. It is a lie. And that lie has been compounded upon lie forever. We want to focus on the spiritual revelation, which is up through chapter 2, verse 3, relying on the word for God being Elohim, not Jehovah. At the very beginning of the textbook, Mary Baker Eddy provides an introductory group of three quotes. One, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Two, there is nothing, either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Three, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. What do you think those three quotes mean to you? Everyone needs to discover truth on their own. To me, the first one is by Jesus, and it says that if we seek and find the truth and live it, we will be free of everything that is a lie. In other words, what is stated in Genesis chapter 2. And the second quote by Shakespeare means to me that it is up to us how we think about anything and everything, and if we're careful about filtering and only permit the truth to enter our consciousness, then we will build a consciousness on spiritual qualities of God. Nothing that is a lie. Everything that is truth. And the third one is telling us, in my humble opinion, that if we follow the truth, which is the laws of God, that is our prayer. It's not saying words and trying to plead to some invisible idea, which is what God is. God is invisible, and God is idea. He is not a physical body. He is not Jesus, as Jesus himself said. A Pharisee asked Jesus, "Good Master, how can I obtain eternal life?" Jesus replied, "Why call thou me good? There is only one good, and that is God." You see, the Pharisee addressed Jesus as a title of good. If he would have said, "You do good things," that would have been different. But he said, good master. So he was calling him master and good. And Mary Baker Eddy defines good as God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction, as was stated previously. And also, her definition of God on page 587 says, God is the great I am. Have you ever looked up the word great? How about the word the? The great. That is a super powerful title. Great means there is only one. We shouldn't use the word great unless we're referring to God. The only one. There are not different levels of greatness. There's only one. And it's God. It's perfect. It's complete. Always active. Always perfect. If we think about those three introductory quotes that are at the very beginning, right after the title pages of the textbook, don't you think that that's a message that Mary Baker Eddy is giving everyone that cracks open the book? It seems that way to me. Anything we study in the textbook, we should be aware of those three quotes, because that is the lead-off, that is the summary, that is the substance of what's in the textbook. The beauty of Christian Science being a system of divine metaphysics is that it is open to infinity, and it is only good, and it's available to anyone that studies and gains an increasing understanding of what it's all about. Isaiah tells us, precept upon precept, line upon line. In fact, he doubles it. He says, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. Mary Baker Eddy says, we should not try to make one huge leap. And anyone that has studied anything about the brain knows that the brain does not accept changes without a tenacious fight. And if we have been inundated with compounded lies upon lies our entire life, just from the universal belief which is floating around in the atmosphere, unconscious, totally latent, it doesn't knock on the door and say, okay, this is the universal belief about this, so you must make sure that you refuse it. No. Evil does the opposite. It deceives the whole existence. I mean, that's everything. No limits. When I say the entire or the whole existence, all existence, there's no limit to that. Whatever exists is included, whether it's visible or invisible, whether it's conscious or unconscious, whether it's active or it's latent, whether it's individual, collective, or universal. It covers it all. It covers it all. So what are we going to believe? Are we going to believe this universal thought of evil that is always floating around with suggestions of getting off of the track of truth? Or are we going to believe the facts about whatever it is that we're involved with? And if we're involved with the most important facts that exist, it's the facts about God, the facts about man, and the understanding that man is included in the source, which is God. Otherwise, God could not be a source. If there was no manifestation, if there was no expression, can you imagine a professional pianist that never plays the piano, never performs, never practices? He gets to the ultimate level of perfection, and then he just ceases all activity. He's no longer a pianist. A pianist is stating that he is exercising his skill. The same with any profession whatsoever. Like the wealthiest man in the world, if you are one of the finest scientists on physics and have understood clearly how you can send a rocket into space and bring it back and land it in its original launching pad, and if you keep doing it, and maybe even figuring out something more to do with it, then you are a pure, excellent, ever excelling and progressing rocket scientist. If we do not practice, exercise what we know, we will not only forget it, but we will regress. Because God is all action. God is in continuous action. If we're not in continuous action of exercising the laws of God, we definitely will go backwards. There can be no laxity, no inactivity in the laws of a God that is ever active. Omni is an extremely important word. Everything about God is omni, which means one, only, and all. And when you consider the definitions that have been recited in this prayer treatment, you can see that we are going to be very busy because we need to be practicing all of it. Mary Baker Eddy in her textbook states that there are 350 different terms that define the seven terms, approximately 50 each. So, if we want to understand what mind is, we need to understand the 50 terms that are words in the English language that define it. And the same with all of the other seven synonymous terms. Now, that's an approximate number. Some of them are more than 50, some are less than 50, but there's a total of 350. So, if we just divide them by the seven, we know there's approximately 50 terms to define each of the seven terms for God. If we start our day with this kind of thinking, and let's, while we're at it, recite the definition of day, which is on 584. That is the glossary, just like these other definitions, except the first one. The first definition of God was from Chapter 14, which is a summary of the first 13 chapters. All of the other definitions, except the Bible, were recited from the glossary, which is key to the scriptures, which means if we want to understand the Bible, we need to understand what those definitions are, because they relate to the important events and the important characters that are mentioned in the Bible. So this is the definition of day on page 584. The irradiance of life, light, the spiritual idea of truth and love. And then there's a quote from Genesis that's a part of the definition, Genesis 1 verse 5, and it says, "And the evening and the morning were the first day." The objects of time and sense disappear in the illumination of spiritual understanding. And mind measures time according to the good that is unfolded. This unfolding is God's day, and there shall be no night there. That's clear. All we have to do is keep this in thought and refer to it mentally throughout the day. If we start our day with these kind of quotes and sense of reasoning, we will find what Mary Baker Eddy says the cultured scholars have found when practicing Christian Science. And this is on our home page. There's no guarantee it will always be there, because our entire website is very dynamic. We are changing it continuously. As new ideas unfold, they are presented. Prior to reciting the thought about is there any benefit to living a life of Christian Science, here is a quote from Miscellaneous Writings, which is one of the other 16 books, on page 82, that states, infinite progression is concrete being. So this ties in directly to the four words that preceded the first definition of God that was recited, where it said that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. Well, there's a tie-in to infinite. Infinite progression is concrete being. If we think of a mountain as being concrete being, in other words, something that appears to be permanent, that's what the reference is here to infinite progression. Here is what is stated in Science and Health, page 128, about practical science. The term science, properly understood, refers only to the laws of God and to His government of the universe, inclusive of man. From this, it follows that businessmen and cultured scholars have found that Christian Science enhances their endurance and mental powers, enlarges their perception of character, gives them acuteness and comprehensiveness, and an ability to exceed their ordinary capacity. The human mind, imbued with this spiritual understanding, becomes more elastic, is capable of greater endurance, escapes somewhat from itself, and requires less repose. A knowledge of the science of being develops the latent abilities and possibilities of man. It extends the atmosphere of thought, giving mortals access to broader and higher realms. It raises the thinker into his native air of insight and perspicacity. It's going to be difficult to find out any reason why one would not want to study and advance their learning of Christian Science and the system of divine metaphysics. Look what the benefits are. I mentioned about there being two parts to the textbook, Science and Health and Key to the Scriptures. Key to the Scriptures begins on page 500 and goes through the end, which is page 700. And the last 101 pages, which is 600 to 700, are 486 healings from 85 testifiers. They've all been verified, and they've been in the textbook since 1910. So 117 years they've stood the test of time. They're not wishful thinking. These are people that have had their testimonies verified, and they go through a very extensive process to make sure they're all legitimate. So if you don't think the text that I just read about practical science is enough, read those 486 different healings by 85 testifiers in the last 101 pages. And you will find that each one of them states that study of the textbook was their source of healing. There was no Christian Science practitioner involved, although they have a place. They were not involved in these healings. These people were on their own, and many of them had been given a prognosis that was fatal, and they had absolutely nowhere else to go. That's the situation with Wentworth Winslow. He was a prodigal son. Came from a wealthy family, had the finest education, gave him introductory letters to the key people of business. He decided he'd rather have fun and games. He had so many problems that he got to where he was so ill that they gave him a prognosis of death, going around the corner and never to become visible again. He wasn't very excited when he learned about Christian Science because he had no hope. But he eventually decided that he didn't have any choice. There was no other avenue. He had consulted several of the top doctors, and they all had the same answer. Unfortunately, churches are basically corrupt. We have on our website the definition of church from Science and Health, page 583. There are six key points. The structure of truth and love rests upon divine principle, proves its utility. That's 1, 2, and 3. 4. Elevates the race, elevating from material to spiritual. Cast out devils. And 6. Heals the sick. That's the real church. Mary Baker Eddy had some of her close friends that were excommunicated from the Mother Church. She thought that was a great progress because they were going outside the box of being willing to be controlled by what kind of books they read or what kind of activities they were involved in. She said everyone has a right to be sovereign. That was the thing to do, to be a member of the church. But if you think about how she defines church, that's the church we want to be a member of. Joel Goldsmith, Wentworth Winslow, and Frederick L. Rosten all had 15-minute appointments. At the end of that time, the healing was done. They all left the church, because they were all sovereign, independent thinkers. Mary Baker Eddy did not copyright the final edition of Science and Health in 1910. She stated that she didn't do it because it was such a vast topic, she wanted to leave it open for further development. We have a good friend of the Institute. He's an author. Last name is Witzsche. I've known him for many years. He developed the system to a much higher level than anyone else had ever been able to understand about it. It's very simple, really. It's just because that mind is infinite, there are further and more comprehensive avenues that can be developed. There's no limit to infinity. To this day, he has been the most advanced in developing the system to another dimension of spiritual understanding. Mary Baker Eddy says that we are barraged constantly with mortal mind suggestions. We need to have a standard model that we can refer to on instant notice that we're aware of a problem, so that we can nip it in the bud before it even has a chance to get started. And we want to delete it through a system of filtering so that it doesn't enter into our consciousness. It is much easier to practice preventative than it is curative. Curative means that we've already submitted to it and we have to go in there and dig it out. Preventative, when it's done correctly, eliminates the need to do the curative. Like the article that was read on Practical Christian Science. The benefits of practicing Christian Science. And that's why Einstein said, "Blessed art thou," meaning Mary Baker Eddy, "for everything that is in this book." Considering he was a man that spent his life studying about matter, he had some light, his theory on relativity, E equals mc squared, is admitting that how we view something is dependent upon how we think about it. So he's seeing the light from Shakespeare. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Because the law of relativity, he explained in very simple terms. He said, if you're enjoying what you're doing, time travels fast. And if you're having a real difficult time with it, then it goes very slowly. That's what his famous law of relativity means, by his own words. Do we want our time to go fast? And of course, the ultimate in time is to realize there is none at all. So sure, we want it to go so fast it disappears. That doesn't mean we expire in our ability to express the qualities of God. It's the opposite. We can better express the qualities of God if we don't have the limitation of believing in matter as being real. Because it's not. Christian Science and the system of divine metaphysics are totally portable. Jesus didn't carry books around with him. I don't know, he may have had the Bible. He certainly quotes from it from time to time. I mean, we utilize a massive library. In fact, the picture on our home page up at the top, in fact, it's at the top of every page, it's a header. And we use the same header for every page. It shows the picture of a church. And it's entitled Christian Science Library. It's a church of divine metaphysics. It's a church of Christian Science being practiced in our daily life. The Golden Rule. Speaking of short prayers, Mary Baker Eddy says that if we understand the spiritual significance of the Lord's Prayer, we will be able to heal instantaneously. This is on our homepage. I shall recite the Lord's Prayer. That's another wonderful thing to utilize to start your day. Imagine, he gave us only one prayer, and she says it is so powerful that if we understand the spiritual significance of it, it will instantaneously heal everything. Here it is, isolated by the key points. She says, it's the only prayer that Christ Jesus gave to the world. Number two, it covers every human need. Number three, if spiritually understood, will heal any problem instantaneously. And what's the foundation of it? He answers that in a quote in Matthew 22, when a Pharisee asked him, what is the greatest commandment of all? He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. And we suggest that you do it in reverse, because you cannot love God if you're not loving every single one that you come in contact with. Every single one. It's very simple. If you think you love God, then you better do a reality check and make sure that you do. Because that means you're loving every single individual that you are aware of. You have to genuinely love everyone individually, collectively, and universally. Here's the Lord's Prayer. It's from page 16 and 17 of the textbook. 15 is basically an introductory portion of which I've summarized just now. Starting on line 24 of page 16, she says, here, let me give what I understand to be the spiritual sense of the Lord's Prayer. So every other statement will be her spiritual translation of the Lord's Prayer. And you will recognize where it breaks. Our Father, which art in heaven, our Father, Mother God, all harmonious, hallowed be thy name, adorable one, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom is come, thou art ever present. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And love is reflected in love. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love over all and all. Amen. We will close this prayer treatment with the Lord's Prayer just read. There is not words to adequately express the importance of being systematized in your life. Because time will disappear if you don't take active steps to do the right thing in developing a more clear understanding of God and His manifestation, which is us, man. And the only way we can do that is to understand God by serious study and to practice what we live. We have a button on the website that says Effective Healing. It's on the home page. And you will find that every individual that was really successful in healing had a common thread. And it was this: be humble and devote every effort possible to helping others. Find out what their need is, and sometimes it's obvious. Don't be tricked by a symbol. The symptom is rarely the real problem. If you're going to a very important meeting and you have a problem with your transportation, the root of the problem could be the belief of evil trying to interfere with the progress that's going to take place at that meeting. So it does whatever it can easily do, and that is distract you by causing trouble with transportation. That's just a simple example. If we have our life devoted to living a life of giving in every way, money is only one thing. And giving money away to someone that is without money very likely is going to be the absolute opposite of what we should be doing. Because if they don't know how to manage their money, giving them money is not going to solve the problem. They may need food, shelter, clothing, a job, maybe a friend, maybe spiritual encouragement. Who knows? The whole world is open with possibilities. God being infinite, there's no end to the ways that you can help someone. And you have to figure out what the best way to do and do it. Edmund Burke said, "Evil triumphs when good men do nothing." The prayer that you do the first thing as soon as you open your eyes, it's one of the most important things you can do. Protecting your thought all day long is another very important activity. Mary Baker Eddy says the difference between success and failure is often defined by how we use our moments. And a moment is defined as the smallest measurement of time. Mary Baker Eddy set aside every hour of her waking day, every hour, to devote it to self-examination, to make sure that she was only thinking constructive spiritual thoughts about everyone and everything. She, like Jesus, had people attacking her all the time. And you see what happened? There were 40 or 50 churches in all the big cities. And now you'll be lucky to find two or three. She said that if Christian Scientists don't do their work, we will be faced with the longest and most intense dark ages civilization has ever known. And that's where we are right now. Actually, we are in a process of healing. Much has taken place since 2016. 10 years. Much progress has taken place. The swamp is becoming more dry every day, and one cannot see it, although we have some very excellent inside sources, and we publish it on the website of the progress. Up there in the header, again, it's the same on every page, click on countries. There are 3 or 4 links there. Countries, giving, topics, in the header, click on them. They are all new pages that are accumulating all the good that is taking place. And if you really want to advance spiritually, look at the section on effective healing. It's on the home page. It's a very comprehensive series of steps, but they're simple, very easy to understand, but you have to be a genius. What do I mean by that? The difference between an average person and a genius is the genius follows through, and the average individual is a quitter, gives up, gives in. That's the difference. Anyone can be a genius. You don't have to be able to multiply 6-digit numbers mentally to be a genius. You can get the answer by punching a button. How many people know how to think? That's being a genius. They should teach it in colleges, but they don't. You'll be lucky to even find an elementary school where they're teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic. That's all changing, but right now, that's what we've experienced for 50 or 75 years in America and in all countries. We have to independently come to the conclusion that we want to live. Otherwise, we will go over the cliff. And there's going to be a lot of people that go over the cliff because they're not willing to spiritualize their thought. They're stuck in the mud. And they're not interested enough to find out how to get out. They just accept being a sheep, following a leader that they have no idea where the leader's going. It is presently April 18, 2026, at 2015. And the topic of this prayer treatment is 1-7 day, flow like water. One of the most intelligent individuals, and he's a true genius of all time, is Bruce Lee. We have many articles. He was a martial arts expert. Never been defeated. Never even been touched. They couldn't even touch him. He flowed like water. Where they thought he would be so they could hit him, he wouldn't be there. That's how we need to treat evil. Don't be there. The water flowing is a symbol of the water of truth, a stream, the pureness of a mountain stream, flowing around the rocks. You don't ignore them, you go around them. You say, well, I'm not going to let you obstruct me. I'm going to go this other way. I'm going to go with the water. Think of the water as being the elements of truth. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And all 350 of the terms that define those 7 terms. And the 4 operators, which are the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. And these are on the home page. Take a look at them. You need to know what the operators are. And the 4 levels Those are on page 115 and 116 of the textbook. They're on the home page also. That is the system. The elements, the operators, and the levels. And you put it together with an algorithm, just like in mathematics and music. If you have any questions, we have a contact page. You're welcome to contact us. And there's a complete instruction on how you can have direct contact with us. The topic of this has been 1 to 7, day, flow like water. And 1 to 7 means that all 7 of the synonymous terms have been touched upon. Flow like water was just explained. And day. That's meant to be as soon as we open our eyes. That's the beginning of our new day. That is exactly what chapter 16 is and the last book of the Bible, Revelation, otherwise known as the Apocalypse. That's exactly what it's all about. Genesis, the beginning, Apocalypse at the end, and everything in between, and there's no time, so it goes on to eternally. Goes on eternally into the realm of infinitude. Thank you for listening. The end.